I'd like to inform all parties today's call is being recorded. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, operator. Greetings, everyone. My name, as I've noted, is Rob Hogarth. I'm ICANN's Senior Policy Director and your host for this call today. This is the first of two orientation calls we've organized to provide a general overview to GNSO work team volunteers. And the inspiration was actually twofold. One, in talking with the various chairs and other staff members, we realized that we are getting a number of new faces participating in the work team effort, and we thought it was important for the new players to be on a level playing field with the rest of the community. Some folks have been involved in various aspects of the GNSO review for many months, and in a couple of cases, a couple of years, and we wanted to make sure that everybody had a similar perspective and an understanding of sort of where this all started. The other part of it was that a number of the work teams are going to be gathering in Mexico City for the first time for some of their face-to-face meetings, and other work team members will participate remotely. And we thought it would maximize the time that the groups have this coming weekend to really dispense with some of the background materials and background information so that the teams could really hit the ground running. There's a lot of work to cover on a number of the teams, and we thought this would be a good way to offload some of that early briefing and give folks to ask and engage in some questions and maybe have some introductions a little bit ahead of time. So over the next 45 minutes or so, together with my colleague Julie Hedlund, we hope that we'll be able to provide you with a general overview of the GNSO improvements process and how your efforts as members of various work teams will fit into that overall process. We'll take a tour of the various general areas of improvements recommendations endorsed by the ICANN board, and we'll talk briefly about the initial agendas that each work team will be addressing in the weeks. In a number of cases, some of the quote-unquote jurisdictions of the work teams overlap based upon how you read some of the board recommendations, and so it'll be helpful, I think, for you all to get a sense as to where some of the other work teams that you're not going to be directly involved in will be conducting discussions. That may give you some better context of where your debates and discussions will take place. Now, I think as I described to Zach a little bit before you joined SS, we've had nearly 20 volunteers express an interest in joining these two orientation calls, and those of you who had the foresight to select this first call have the benefit of a rather intimate gathering. Understanding that it will be a short one, Julie, I'd like to ask you to conduct the roll call since you have the best list of folks who've RSVP'd.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I have for the role yourself, Rob Hogarth, myself, Julie Hedlund, SS Shastri, Zach Brandstetter.
Brandstetter, yep.
Right. And Glenn Saint-Jerry?
Yes. Thank you, Julie.
Great.
That was all I heard. Is J. Scott Evans joining us by any chance?
No, not yet.
Nope. And Esther Manoff's not here as well, but he may be here tomorrow.
Great, thanks. And, of course, there will be folks who may also avail themselves of this recording. Just for benefit of those of us on the call, SS and Zach, can you remind us which work teams you guys have signed up for? We may want to focus a little bit more on your teams.
Well, I'm in Council Constituency Operations Team, SS.
Great, thanks.
I'm on the working group team. That's Zach.
Super. Maybe we'll spend a couple little extra minutes for each of you on those topics, and happy to answer any specific questions you guys will have on those. Before we take another step, though, there's a critical message that you guys need to hear, and also any of you who may be listening to one of the recordings, and that's a brief but emphatic thank you. Either as an individual or as a representative of one of the GNSO constituencies or through some other connection, you're offering your time and your effort, your expertise, and really your own unique perspective to bring life to, quite frankly, a series of recommendations, suggestions, and visions that have been developed over many, many hours and in some cases a couple of years by members of the ICANN community. In some cases, those recommendations are quite specific. In others, the visions that have been painted are quite general and subject to some varying interpretations. So your efforts over the next several months are going to bring clarity and specificity to a number of those recommendations, and we really appreciate you devoting some time and effort to this cause, so thanks very much. What I'd like to do is briefly review our agenda, sort of touch on what we're going to go through over the next 40 minutes or so. I'm going to start with a background of the GNSR review process, outline for you a number of the objectives of the review and the improvements that have recently been adopted by the board. Julie is going to next describe the specific ICANN board recommendations for GNSO improvements as they fit into the five main categories that we've identified as areas of improvement that quite coincidentally match up with the various work teams. Then I'll cover the GNSO council organization and the phased implementation of the new structure and discuss how it relates to the work team effort. Then in a tag team format, Julie will address the steering committee and work team structure. I'll follow with a description of the work team rules, as well as some key references and web resources that you'll undoubtedly want to avail yourselves of in the coming week and over the coming weeks as you conduct your work. The call will follow the order of the slide deck that Julie circulated to you and others who have RSVP'd to the call. At the end of each slide, we'll pause briefly and ask if you all have any comments or questions. We're a small group, so I don't think we'll need to take two if more than one person has something to say, but we'll certainly give you all an opportunity to comment or ask a question. And then depending on the flow of the call, I expect there'll be some time at the end for some general or specific questions that you might have developed over the course of the next half hour or so. Although you'll see we have a slide deck of nearly 20 slides, only 14 of them have substantive materials, so I hope we'll have adequate time to address any of the questions that you have. And of course, please don't forget that Julie and I, as well as our other policy team staff members who are supporting the work team, are available at any time via email to answer your specific questions or comments or concerns that you might have about the process. So before we get started, does anyone have any initial questions?
No, not to begin with.
Great. SS, anything from you? Super, we'll get started. If you'll turn to, and I'm going to go slide by slide. We'll do it as seamlessly as possible. So if you'd like to follow along with the deck that Julie provided, great. If you are otherwise mobile or don't have it in front of you, I hope that our voices will be descriptive enough that we'll capture it for you. On slide two, what we've done is outline the background and key objectives of the GNSO improvements process. As you may or may not know, all the structures within the ICANN organization are subject to periodic independent reviews. It's built into the ICANN process to constantly re-examine, are things working, do they need to be improved, how can things work better. And the current review process for the GNSO commenced back in the late 2004, early 2005 timeframe with a review independently by the London School of Economics. We had some independent reviews conducted by them and Patrick Sherry, who was another consultant to ICANN, who very early on looked at the GNSO as it was structured at that time and began interviews and conducting a lot of community dialogue to find out, you know, where there were holes in the process and how things could be improved. And they identified five specific areas that really needed to be areas of focus. The major key one was to, as you note on the slide, really to increase and maximize the participation of the stakeholders. A real need to get people engaged and to keep them engaged. There was a very significant concern about ensuring that recommendations developed with respect to generic top-level domains and the consensus policies that governed a lot of those operations were also really focused and subject to a clear board review. It was also very important that those policies were clearly defined. I think over time there's been a recognition that as in its current form, as the council approaches various policy development issues, some of them move faster than others. Some of them may move more quickly before real clarity within the community is brought to bear to really define what the problem is or what the issue is. And so there was a real desire that this improvements review process would identify ways to bring more clear definition to what some of those policies would be. A fallout of that was that it was very important in the eyes of the community that the policy development process be thoroughly researched and well scoped out prior to the discussions and the debates taking place. Again, really to give the community and those people participating in the debate a clear view of what the end goal was and what they were really striving to achieve, what problems they were looking to solve. And then finally, a real overarching sort of concern that communications within the GNSO and between the GNSO and other parts of the organization be as efficient as and as clear as possible, whether that would be communications with the board, communications with the various constituencies, or between the constituencies. That was a very important area as well. Any questions on that slide? Great. Following from those objectives, as we turn to the next slide, you'll see five main areas of improvement that were identified to essentially begin to provide a framework for approaching the GNSO review. And the key critical one was a restructuring of the GNSO Council, which basically touched on all aspects of the other four. A second was to revise the policy development process. There was a general recognition among the community that there were parts of it that worked very well and other parts that were more honored in the breach than in the close adherence to how they were laid out. This was true in terms of some of the process timelines, some of the ways either working groups or task forces were formed. And so it was very important as part of the main areas of improvement that there be a reexamination completely of the policy development process. Related to that was an expectation that the policy development process would be modified and really focus on what folks viewed as a more efficient and open way of dealing with policy development issues, and that was through a working group model for developing policy, finding a way to maximize community participation and allow more people to participate and share their views on particularly defined policy issues and policy concerns. Two of the other areas were to improve communications. We touched on that in the previous slide, but as the improvements process wore on, there were very specific recommendations with respect to website development, to communications, to outreach efforts. And then finally, in SS, this touches on the work team that you're going to be involved in, the concept of enhancing the existing constituency. Much of the GNSO has been built on the fundamental framework of constituency representation of various stakeholders, and a recognition over time that it was important to make sure that the playing field for various constituencies was a level one in terms of staff commitment, staff support, and the services that these constituencies received. And another element of it that was very important was that the processes and the mechanisms by which the constituencies operated be consistent. Not to dictate that they follow prescribed or very specific guidelines, but essentially to create general benchmarks, general parameters that the community could be comfortable that all the constituencies were following, particularly in the areas of transparency, in openness, in the fairness of their processes, and that the constituencies continued to observe and ensure that they were representing the interests of the stakeholders who were participating in them. So as we move forward and as we describe and talk about the various work teams, you'll see that they all link to one of these five primary areas of improvement. Any questions or comments on slide three?
Yes. I have two questions.
Sure.
One is adopting working group model. Does it mean that earlier working groups were not there?
I think it's more a sense that, you know, that under the current processes for policy development, there are task forces, there are working groups, there are drafting teams. They are all primarily created by the GNSO Council, and most of the representatives from those groups are either constituency representatives or council members who are specifically assigned to those tasks, again, depending on whether it's a task force, a working group, or a drafting team. And part of the recommendations of the GNSO review and improvements was to move away from that strict model and to provide guidance in a model where a broader group of people participate in policy development. That work team will ultimately define what that looks like, but the vision includes, you know, any variety of members of the ICANN community signing up or being eligible to participate in a working group. It will talk about what does a working group model look like in terms of decision making, in terms of discussion. How long should they deliberate? How do you reach final recommendations? And once that's reached, what does the council do in terms of, and what sort of discretion does the council have in terms of dealing with those recommendations? So it was, I think that's a view toward changing the fundamental aspect of how a group got together and talked about these issues. And this is one of those areas that I talked with at the beginning that is right now a vision, but for which there's not a lot of specificity. So that work team will have, I think, some very interesting discussions in terms of what an effective working group might look like. And they might look to other areas of internet governance. They might look to other industries for potential models for how that might be done.
Yeah, good. Next question, enhanced constituency. Is it the number or their effectiveness?
It's primarily their effectiveness. You know, if you accept the thought that the original assessment of existing constituencies was accurate for the industry at that time and for the community at that time, there's a process that's being followed right now. The existing constituencies are renewing themselves, reconfirming and recertifying their adherence to the ICANN bylaws to the board. So there was a sense that it was very important to enhance the existing constituencies by making sure that they were following the bylaw precepts, by making sure that they were operating to the maximum effectiveness possible. But as you note in your question, there was another aspect to this. And as part of that overall sense of maximizing the participation of the community, a sense that over time, as the industry has changed, grown, expanded, there might be other groups who wanted to participate, who have, you know, developed over time, who want to become involved in the ICANN process. So an aspect of that work team, of the constituency operations team, will be to look at, you know, what elements do we need to consider as an organization to encourage new constituencies to form, to make it easier, as the Board Governance Committee original recommendation stated, for new constituencies to come into being. And as they do, how can they be incorporated into the existing community in an efficient and fair manner? So it's a combination of the two. It's probably more 70-30, or maybe even 80-20, in that there's a primary focus on enhancing, making sure that the existing ones work, but also devoting a significant amount of the discussion to outreach and making sure that there are more opportunities for additional constituencies to participate.
Yeah, good.
I have a question on the communications.
Yes, sir.
Was the recommendation, did it find specific problems with communications, or is it just a general improvement of the communications overall that they're recommending?
It's a combination of the two, and Julie, you've recently had some conversations about that, so I might ask you to give a couple of examples of some of the specifics.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I actually had a conversation today with Mason Cole, and he had asked the same question, and it's a good one. Really, more specifically, where did these recommendations come from? Were there specific problems that were identified? And there were. They actually go back to the London School of Economics report, which found some specific problems. I'd be happy to send you the link to that report later. But those included inconsistency among the constituency websites that made participation difficult for new and existing members, deficiencies in the ICANN website that led to low visibility of the GNSO, poor organization and inconsistent document management, and lack of transparency and communications between the GNSO and the ICANN board. And as I go through the ICANN board recommendations here in this presentation, you'll see how the board recommendations address these problems without necessarily referencing them directly.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Great. Julie, why don't you take us to the next slide, slide four, and start going through briefly on each of these. We don't have to read through them all precisely. But going through some of the broader areas, and I hope that'll flesh out a little bit for folks some of the particulars.
Right. I will do that. And so starting with slide four, and really the next five slides, correspond to the five areas of improvement. So the first of these is relates to the restructure of the GNSO. And as was mentioned, probably the primary objective there is to transition the GNSO to become a strategic manager overseeing policy development by guiding the establishment of the working groups that Rob was talking about and monitoring their progress. And then many of the GNSO Council restructuring recommendations really cross over into some of the areas, sort of more broadly into some of the areas of the other work teams. For instance, the GNSO Council restructure should improve the efficiency of the Council, and one way of doing that is to develop statements of interest and declarations of interest that would allow participants to declare their interests publicly, so we would know what their interests were when they're participating in these working groups. Also, the Council needs to develop ways to assess and benchmark GTLD policy implementations and analyze trends and changes in the GTLD area. And again, there, the goal is so that the Council can provide meaningful advice on the use of ICANN resources affecting the GTLD namespace. Also, the Board recommends that the Council should reorganize to be more representative, agile, and collegial, and to also reorganize into four broad stakeholder groups. And Rob will talk a little bit later, and there's a chart that he'll address on one of the slides that shows that new GNSO structure. And on each of these slides, you'll notice that there's a bullet at the end that really just basically says that the work teams are going to be involved, the work teams that you are on are going to be involved in developing the recommendations and the procedures to achieve each of these recommendations as they fall into the various work team areas. Any questions on that one, the GNSO restructure? A lot of information out there, and of course, after we've absorbed all this, I'm happy to answer questions. Slide 5, then, is going to the recommendations relating to the revision of the policy development process. And the key one there is that the council should develop new PDP rules. And yet these rules have to be aligned with ICANN's contractual requirements as well as with ICANN's bylaws. And reiterating this sort of connection between the GNSO council restructure and the work of some of the other groups, the PDP work team, the PDP recommendations, I should say, are also looking at how to transition the council into that role of a strategic manager overseeing policy development. And you could see that there would be some kind of connection there, of course, because we have the new policy development process and the work groups that feed into that new council role. And then, as the council is looking at developing these new PDP rules, there are several things that it's going to need to consider as part of that process. Really, what I think the recommendation envisioned here was to say, before we develop these rules, we need to make sure there's a consideration for all the work that needs to be done before we even decide that something should be a new policy, a new ICANN policy. And that would be public discussion, fact-finding, expert research, defining the scope and the objective and schedule for a particular policy development goal, rather than simply having someone say, and this was a criticism that I think we found in, say, the LSC, that someone would say, well, that sounds like a good policy. Let's just delve right into it without doing a lot of the homework first to make sure we understand the true scope of that. And then, finally, the council needs to do periodic assessments of its policy development process now that once the new rules are in place, and preferably using metrics so that we can really measure the effectiveness of this new PDP. Any questions on slide 5?
Okay.
Yes? Okay, slide 6. Again, following these 5 improvement areas, we're now looking at the board's recommendations concerning the adoption of the working group model. And what we're looking at here is that really these are recommendations for what a working group should look like. What would be the rules around a working group and how it should be formed? And here the recommendations say, for instance, that a work group should be open to anyone who's interested in joining, be broadly representative, balanced, and knowledgeable. The working group should have a strong, experienced, and respected chair, and one who can be neutral. The goal of work groups should be to be open, honest, and have a respectful consensus. And that the board recommends that to improve efficiency, the council should develop, again, statements of interest and declarations of interest so that working group participants know what each other's interests are. And finally, and also an important consideration, the board recommends the council should review the budget implications of moving to this working group model to ensure that there will be sufficient staff support, infrastructure, and funding. Any questions on that? And I'm sorry if I was a little bit hard to hear before. I think I need to get a little closer to my microphone.
Good question. Now, the chair will be from team itself, or it could be from outside also, one.
Mm-hmm.
Second is, when you say neutral, does it mean that should not belong to a stakeholder group?
The chair, let me see here, and Rob, you can jump in too. I'm just trying to find a little bit more detail on this in some of the recommendations.
I'm happy to jump in on that. The expectation in FS is that the qualities that Julie shared that came from the recommendations are just that, they're qualities. They don't necessarily go to the interest of the individual. There are some examples of that in present GNSO activity in which the chair has to declare that, hey, I'm here solely as a manager and as a neutral party. I'm not going to express my personal points of view. I'm solely here to act in a neutral capacity or as the facilitator of the group. That person could come from the group. This work team is going to have discussions about that. If the person does come from the group, sort of how are they selected? What would be the approach for doing that? The council itself, informing the working group, might assign a chair from a pool of qualified individuals. There's a whole host of different ways that the work team could go with respect to this. Some of it may impact your work team in terms of constituency operations, because one of the things that we talk about is, you know, sort of what sort of skill sets do people need to have to participate in various aspects of the ICANN operations. And so there may be certain qualities or qualifications or skill sets that this work team identifies are critical for a chair. And so as a result, that chair could come from the group or be assigned more broadly. In terms of neutrality, I think I touched on that a little bit in that, again, the work team would determine whether that chair would act purely in the role of facilitator or whether they'd have more of a stake in things. Based upon preliminary discussions I've heard from some folks just talking from a community perspective, the aspect of a neutral chair is an important one.
Yeah, one more question connected. Whether any provision for vice chair will be there?
The work team? Yeah, the work team could discuss that as well. In terms of some of the groups that I support as a staff member, that's almost an expectation that all groups have an alternate or somebody who can step up and either assist the chair or step in if the chair can't make a meeting or can't participate or has some other difficulties. So, yeah, that would undoubtedly be a subject of discussion for the work team.
Any other questions? Great. Thanks so much, Rob. That was really helpful. Okay, moving on to slide 7, recommendations relating to enhancing constituencies. And again, these are really talking about what new rules might look like for constituencies. Do we want to have some consistent guidelines and rules that describe what a constituency should look like so that they're all operated in a fairly consistent manner? And these relate to things that such as that constituencies should be representative, open, transparent, standardized, processes clearly stated, accessible, and democratic. Participation should be global and should support multiple languages. And then with respect to ensuring that participants can access information on participants of the constituency, there should be a centralized registry of all constituencies. And also that there should be a toolkit available to all constituencies to support their outreach efforts, services, administrative, and other functions. Any questions related to that? Okay.
This is Rob. I just have an additional element to point out there, particularly given SS's involvement with that group. I touched on it, and Julie touched on it in reviewing the slide, and that is the significant and serious commitment that the improvements note with respect to global participation. And The work team recommendations and input from work team members in that respect will be very important. I think we are fortunate in that members of that work team, as it's worked out, are from, I think, just about every one of the ICANN geographic regions. And so, you know, your ability, SS, to share the perspective from your part of the world, others from other regions will be very important, because a significant aspect of, you know, this vision of a global, truly multi-stakeholder policy development process is going to involve how do you communicate to the various parties? How do you make sure that they are truly capable of participating? That includes translation, interpretation. How does that impact the timing of these processes? How do you handle written comments? What resources does AFCAN need to develop or beef up with respect to translation? What are some of the expectations the community is going to need to have in terms of how quickly various policies can be implemented, when you need to make sure that you are really reaching out and getting truly global participation? There are a number of, you know, fascinating issues there, and very fundamental to how the GNSO will operate going forward.
Great, thanks, right. Bob. That was a very helpful emphasis.
Did somebody just have a question?
Yes.
Is somebody about to make a question?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You had a question?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. All right, thanks. I'll move on to slide 8. And these are the recommendations based on improving communications. As I mentioned before, the London School of Economics report had identified a number of problems, and so you'll see here that the recommendations really relate directly to those problems or failures in communication that had been identified. And number one there is that the GNSO and other websites within ICANN should be redesigned so that they are simple and easy to use, easy to locate information, provide access to archives, link to constituency websites and to other ICANN structures and activities, among other recommendations, and there are many.
Okay.
There. Yes?
Sorry?
Oh. Documents should be, there's also recommendations relating to documents, and number one of these, and I think this goes to the idea of sort of global outreach, is that, and this is across not just the constituency recommendations, but again, of course, in communications as well, and that's that documents should be multilingual and produced in a format that's easily printed and portable. And there are also recommendations relating to the whole document management process so that documents are easier to locate and to track. There should be more frequent contacts between the GNSO Council and the constituencies, members of the board, and more frequent contacts among chairs of the GNSO and other supporting organizations and advisory committees, really basically just communications among and within the ICANN structures. The idea is that this improved communication would also improve board member awareness of GNSO issues and would help to coordinate policy activities across ICANN bodies. Any questions on slide 8?
Yeah, I have a question on internationalization, translated portable. Can you little more tell about what it is?
Well, I think, and Rob can expand on this as well, but that there needs to be a process in place to get documents translated, perhaps in more languages than there are now, and that's something that the work teams could look at. How could they be more quickly translated and made available, and how can they be put in a format that is easily accessible for people to download, to print, to read, particularly if they're in a variety of languages, you know, where the formats may not be the same. Rob, did you want to add anything to that?
I think you did an excellent job summarizing that. It becomes a huge issue from a management perspective, and it's a challenge. I've only been with ICANN just over a year now, and since I joined, just the real management challenge of expanding multilingual capabilities in policy documents and the rest, and really doing the research to find out which languages do you lead with, how do you evaluate, if you have two participants versus 20 in another language, These are areas that the work team is going to be tasked with discussing and sort of working through some of those issues.
Did that help answer your question, SS?
Yes, right. We can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Rob, I think I'll pass it on to you for the next couple of slides.
Great, thanks, Julie. On each of the next several slides, there is a 4-minute presentation and a 45-minute presentation. I'll stick to the 4-minute one. These are for context, to give you guys a perspective of where you may have heard or seen some of the debates taking place online and via email. Significant politics at play with respect to the reorganization of the GNSO Council. The issue was so charged last summer that the board created a separate working group to devote their complete efforts on just talking about what the future structure of the GNSO Council would look like. The ultimate result of that work is what you see in slide 9. Just very briefly, the fundamental change is that the council is moving from a single house structure to a bicameral voting structure that is designed to balance contracted parties and non-contracted parties, that gives reality to the original Board Governance Committee recommendations of 4 stakeholder groups, the registry stakeholders and the registrar stakeholders who make up the contracted party house, and then the commercial stakeholders group and the non-commercial stakeholders group that will ultimately make up the non-contracted party house. There is a full page of voting thresholds that members of the community have identified to basically figure out how decisions can be made in a balanced way that ensure that there's maximum participation, that policy recommendations are truly a consensus of the community, and a lot of details that went into this process. The council restructuring is an effort that the GNSO Council is monitoring and implementing itself. The board has provided a timeline of June 2009, as you see at the top of the slide, as a goal for transitioning the council. And the GNSO Council, not a work team, is managing that process. The GNSO Council operations work team will talk about how this group works together and interacts in terms of the various rules and operating procedures of the council. There will be some significant overlap there, but right now the chief driver has been the existing council itself. There could be 20 questions on this slide. I welcome any or none from you guys on this call. Great. I'll turn to the next slide. This talks in general terms about the approach to restructuring the council in a relatively programmed way. Late last year, the board said, we can't do this all at once. Let's take it step by step. And the board essentially created and advised a 4-step or a 4-phase process for achieving the council restructure. The first was they asked for a plan from the GNSO Council, and a draft implementation schedule was provided to them by the GNSO Council at the beginning of December. The other significant phase dealt with the existing constituencies, and we talked about that a little bit earlier in the call. The concept that it was useful to get the existing constituencies to sort of reset themselves, to evaluate the work they've been doing to date, to compare that with the expectations of the ICANN bylaws with respect to openness, fairness, transparency, and representativeness, and to ask them to present their charters again to the board for the board to make that evaluation and to consider how they're operating to date. Those filings took place. Those submissions were provided to the board in early February. The staff is currently reviewing them with an eye toward providing some thoughts and recommendations to the board over the next several weeks so the board can make some pronouncements on the existing constituencies by the end of April. The third phase that we're in right now is efforts by existing constituencies to present their ideas to the board about how these new stakeholder groups will operate. If you'll refer back to the previous slide, you know, there's those four primary stakeholder groups. This is essentially a new creation based on the community's input and recommendations for improving the structure of the GNSO Council and how it operates. It's fair to say that the structure on the previous slide was one of compromise from a number of different competing interests, and so there are certain levels of complexity there that folks haven't completely achieved yet, that they haven't completely examined. And the submissions that are going to be going in over the next week or so to the board with respect to these new stakeholder groups are going to have a number of different recommendations and suggestions in terms of how those groups will work, how they interface with the existing constituencies, and so their SS is another link to that work team effort. And so there's going to be some active dialogue in Mexico City and in the weeks beyond in terms of community reaction to those stakeholder group submissions. So it'll be interesting to see and observe what sort of ideas and concepts come out of that. And then finally, phase four is going to be, the actual seating of the new council. Again, the goal for that is the ICANN meeting in Sydney, Australia, this coming June. A lot has to happen between now and then in terms of community decisions, in terms of potential bylaw changes and other shifts and changes that are going to have to be made. So it's an aggressive goal. I think everybody on the GNSO Council still hopes and expects that they will make that, but it's going to be requiring a lot of work on their part that you'll undoubtedly hear a lot about in your roles as work team members. Fortunately, you guys, though, are not subject to that June deadline. Will be a soft sort of rollout for the recommendations that the work teams develop. Any questions or comments on that process or that timetable?
Yes, Zach. I know you've got the goals that you want to achieve for that, but has there been, say, a time limit or a set of criteria on saying, okay, we've got to this point and the council structure hasn't worked, what do we do now? Is there a fail safe? Is there a plan B?
Yes and no. the yes is that the review process that I discussed at the very beginning of this call is an ongoing one. A number of the participants in the working group effort who came up with this compromise acknowledged that within the next 2 years, there are conceivably going to be a whole bunch of new generic top-level domains. The industry will have changed significantly. There will be aspects, as you point out, of this new structure that aren't going to work as efficiently as folks might have believed. And so the existing review process will likely handle that. In terms of the much shorter term, though, the board is very actively engaged in monitoring and observing where things are going here. They are open to community input and suggestions. As we move through the next couple of months, I'm sure that there will be aspects of the restructuring that they will identify that are problematic. And the good news there is that the board is flexible enough to make changes, and as long as we manage things from a community perspective to make sure that we have public comments into that process, I think there will be a lot of room for modifications and adjustments. That was kind of general. I'm sorry I couldn't get more specific, but I mean there is a recognition that things may not go as smoothly as some folks have hoped.
Yeah, I mean that's just like you look at it there, and I think personally there should maybe be a phase five where you spend, you know, a month or 2 months just literally reviewing the efficiency and what is happening with the new structure, just to see if it is going to work at all. So that's all.
I think that's an excellent point. And, you know, the working group, work team, and the policy development team are going to need to pay very close attention to this, because a lot of their work, quite frankly, is going to end up being the work of that restructured council. And so while you will have these new council members, or, you know, holdover council members seated in this new structure, there are still a lot of questions about how that transitions. How do you handle, you know, things like the terms of the different members? How do you stagger them? How do you, you know, fold in these new voting thresholds before the bylaws are passed? And if not, how you manage and continue to conduct business while you're going through this transition period. So I think that will happen in any case. It may not have been defined yet by the board, but it's certainly going to take place.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, what I'd like to do is a quick time check with where we are. We probably have about 5 or 6 more substantive slides. So if you guys have an extra 10 or 15 minutes, I think we will comfortably get through the presentation. Are you all okay?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
Okay, great. Thanks. Julie, you want to do a briefer review probably than we planned with respect to the planning team efforts? Absolutely. I think it's important, though, to talk about the committees and then the work teams.
Absolutely.
And then I'll talk about the rules.
Right. Yeah, so really the next 2 slides go into a bit of detail on the structure that the council envisioned coming out of this implementation planning team that they created in May 2008. And really that is, you know, how were the 2 steering committees created, what do they do, and what do the work teams do. There are 2 steering committees that they established to do the work of the GNSO improvements. There's the Policy Process Steering Committee, which oversees all the efforts to enhance the policy development process. And there's the Operations Steering Committee, which oversees the efforts to enhance the GNSO structure, the constituencies, and the communication. So really these 2 overarching steering committees come out of these 5 recommendations. And note that in these steering committees, they're going to focus on processes and practices, not GTLD policies in particular. They are going to, and they are, as because your work teams exist, they create and coordinate the implementation of the work teams, oversee the development of recommendations, establish the work team charters, and report to the GNSO Council. Maybe I'll just move on quickly to slide 12, and then you can, since these are both related, and we can deal with questions after both of those 2. Because slide 12 actually shows then, as a graphic, the relation between the steering committees and the team. So you have the Policy Process Steering Committee, and out of that comes 2 work teams, the new Policy Development Process Team, which is looking at developing proposals for the new policy development process, and the working group team, which is developing proposals for the new working group model. Out of the Operations Steering Committee come 3 teams, and those are the GNSO Operations Team, that is looking at recommendations relating to the council structure and role, the Constituency Operations Team, that is going to look at outreach efforts, encouraging broader participation, and enhancing constituencies. And finally, the communications team, which is developing proposals to improve communications within ICANN and outside of ICANN. Any questions with those 2 slides? Okay. Rob, do you want to do the work team rules?
Yeah, thanks, Julie. Briefly, the work team rules and the concept for coming to them was that each of the 2 steering committees pulled from the existing rules that the GNSO Council has used to form work teams and working groups to discuss policy issues. And they cover, as you see in these slides, some very general things about ensuring that members know what their interests are, talking about how decision-making is conducted and how those decisions are then reported. I think that the two significant bullets that you need to pull out of slide 13 here are the concept of consensus. Each of the steering committees has taken a slightly different route to get to close to the same place. That is coming up with recommendations in which you as work team members achieve a measure of consensus where, you know, there may still be some differences of opinion, but there's a general agreement and room for minorities, people who feel very strongly about a particular position that may not be the consensus position, where they have an opportunity to share their point of view. The second aspect of this is reporting, and that is that the rules govern what the obligations of the work team chairs are in reporting back to their respective steering committees about the results of their work. Number one, it's expected that they participate on a regular basis in steering committee activities so that there can be active updates. And secondly, that when they do report ultimate recommendations, that they're very clear about who participated in the discussion, what the decisions or recommendations were, and what minority points of view were also expressed. Fundamentally, the work teams are doing the rubber meets the road work of coming up for some real nuts and bolts discussions of having recommendations. And as Julie noted, the steering committees aren't there to rule on the recommendations, say, oh, that's terrible, we don't like it, but to simply make sure that there's proper coordination taking place between the various teams to make sure that there isn't discussion, you know, duplicative discussions taking place among work teams or others, and then to fashion and pull together those recommendations for reports to the GNSO Council for their evaluation of it all. Any questions on that slide?
Not particular question, but I just understand that once work teams are meeting, probably steering committee members may be present there?
Yes. The structure, at least, and Julie and I are primarily supporting the operations steering committee effort, and the, your team is in that group, SS. The concept there is that at least the interim chairs, the folks who are first going to play the chair role, were volunteers to help getting the group up and running. And the sense there, in terms of those steering committees, is that the chairs of those groups would be members of the steering committee, because they would be in a position to update and a regular sort of liaison role with the steering committee. A number of steering committee members have asked to be on the mailing list so that they can monitor and keep an eye on some of the discussions, just so that they're plugged in on things. But the expectation was they wouldn't necessarily play tremendously active roles in the various work teams, simply because they wanted to provide an opportunity for a variety of other voices to participate.
Quick, fine.
The next slide, 14, probably our next to last real substantive one in terms of the overall work team rules, is that it's important that you as work team members work with your chairs very early on to establish milestones. The work team rules that the steering committees have established are very general, and they're general for a specific purpose. And that is, they did not want to constrain the work team conversations or discussions right off the bat. They wanted to give you all the opportunity as work team members to work with your colleagues to come up with your mode of operation. The rules they provided are to give you some general guidance, to set some general parameters, but to really give all of you the flexibility to operate within your own teams based on the culture that you guys develop and the best working methodologies that you come up with. We fully expect that there will be different dynamics in each work team based upon the workload, the types of issues that you're discussing, and there will be different tactics or approaches that each work team takes. And it was critical that the steering committees were not in a position to dictate that to you all. And so I think that's a very important consideration so that you can appreciate that you'll be responsible and in charge of your own destiny from that perspective. Clearly, as this slide also demonstrates, there will be active bits of record keeping. There will be tools that you can use on a regular basis to keep the members of the community apprised of your discussions and efforts so that everything remains quite transparent and open to the entire ICANN community. And an important note that's not here on the slides is, as you all saw through responding to the invitations you received, you know, that membership in the work teams is open. So if you are aware of other members of the community who you think would be good additions to your work team or to others, please don't hesitate to spread the word. Any questions on the overall team rules? Great. I'm going to just touch base quickly here on the next slide on the work team activities, and then I'll just very briefly go through the last slide, just so that you all know what to expect in the initial meetings in Mexico City. The meetings obviously are going to take place the first weekend. The primary agenda, at least for some of the initial meetings, is going to be to finalize your work team charters, to really take a look at them, to see what you like, to have a vibrant discussion among working team members, to bring some clarity and some purpose to how you want to approach things, how you want to conduct your meetings, to select your team leaders, to get a sense as to where some folks have different areas of expertise. You may want to break off into separate work groups or basically to operate in any way that is most efficient for the time zones that you're operating in, or your own personal styles, whether that's email communications or telephone calls or work on the various wikis that are available to you. That's the intention for, and the expectation, I think, for the first meeting or two. I think some teams will achieve closure on their charters faster than others. You know, there are some of the issues with respect to the policy development process that are going to be extremely dense and require some tremendous initial discussions. There are other areas, for example, SS with the constituency operations team, where there's a fairly broad mandate, and the challenge there may be to categorize things or pull things together just to give you guys a framework in terms of the best way that you want to operate. So that'll be the initial work of the various work teams. So we hope there will be some very productive discussions there. Any questions or comments on that slide? Great. Slide 16 briefly gives you some background references with links. A number of these links are already included in the background document that Julie circulated to you along with this slide deck. So please feel free to click on those, thumb through things that you think might be applicable to your specific work team. Again, if you have specific questions on anything, please let Julie or I know. If you look at slide 17, we show a screenshot of what we hope will be a frequent or well-used for you all, and that is the GNSO Improvements homepage. We've tried to put just about any document that you would ever need to look at, the background reference or other perspectives on that Improvements homepage. We also expect that as the work teams flesh out their work, that we'll have additional pages that describe what's going on in your various words. And then the last, two of the last three slides to show you screenshots of the steering committee wikis and an example of one of the work team wikis. This is a tool that a number of the GNSO community members have used with some significant success over the last year and a half. They find it to be a useful tool for collaborative drafting, things like that. Again, it'll depend on the culture of your respective work teams as to how heavily you use those types of documents and how often your chair or you choose to utilize the comment features or to operate them. They're quite handy to post information about the next meeting, agenda items, things like that. So you guys might want to make good use of those. And then the final slide, slide 20 of 20, is simply an outline for you of the various staff responsibilities and assignments that we have to the various work teams. We're trying to spread the wealth so that each work team has a primary staff support, but where we also share the burden and the workload. So you may see some of those names participating in some of your discussions from time to time, depending upon a particular staffer's expertise or the needs of your work team. And again, at any time, we are more than happy to answer questions or be a resource to you guys. I know it's true of Julie in terms of email availability. While we can't commit to 24 availability, we're online quite often, so we pride ourselves in getting back to respond to email questions pretty quickly. Are there any final questions or comments that you all have about what's going to be going on in Mexico City or in terms of next steps for the work teams, or is there anything that we didn't touch on that you guys would like us to touch on?
Well, I have comment that both Rob and Judy very clearly you have explained the situation. Things have become more clear to me. And, well, I won't be in Mexico, but hopefully through emails and wiki pages I'll be able to keep myself up to date. And this today's discussion and another meeting, second meeting, probably you'll be circulating questions and whatever experiences have been given.
That's an excellent idea. Julie and I will talk about what format that might look like. The calls are being recorded, but you make a very good point about how we can capture some of those questions so that folks from both calls can benefit from the questions. So thanks for that suggestion. We'll figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, that's great. That would be easy enough for me to do. I've been taking notes.
Super. Well, thank you all very much for volunteering and being willing to take on these challenges. We'll look forward to hearing your perspectives, your ideas, your recommendations. I think it will be a very productive next several weeks and dare I say it, months. And we appreciate both of you taking the time to join us for this call as well.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been very helpful.
Great. Thank you. And thank you all very much. And thank you, Beth, our operator, for monitoring things and recording us. You can terminate the recording now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And
thanks,
thank you,
everyone.
Gentlemen.